deference to our guest today, let me say good morning in the Mountain Time Zone, good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of eloquentonline.net in beautiful, not snowy, New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long, long walk, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon up to Charleston, South Carolina. His name is Dr. Troy Hall, PhD in Global Leadership. Hello, sir.
Hello there, and how are you? And I welcome you today, just with a little additional understanding of international credit union operating principles. Did you know that they were founded on the philosophy of cooperation and its central values of equality, equity, and mutual self-help?
I did not know that.
See?
But I do now.
You'll learn a lot on this show.
You do. Yes, you do. And look at that. We said it right there in the intro. If that's one of the cooperative principles, I've always asked the question, can they all be tweeted? It sounds like that one. That one probably could,
it is.
Could have been.
And you have another very important question to ask. You need to tell us the name of the show.
Yes, that's true. And that's part of the question. Thank you. The name of the show is The Power of Performance. And here comes the question. The show that asked the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? And more importantly, brought
boom,
to you by XDI.com, phonetically speaking, xraydeltaindia.com. Got my first tax form this week in the mail. So I'm starting to compile that forward-thinking branch of government known as the IRS still sends out the most important financial document to me and my family by mail. I got my first one this week, and talking about notices, tax notices, letters, account statements, XDI, Express Data Incorporated, the sponsor of the show. I noticed today on Google the little design was in chili peppers. And, of course, that's Express Data's thing, the chili challenge. How would you like to bring home $10,000 for the charity of your choice as a credit union? Check it out, XDI.com, the Chili Challenge, one of the coolest things you can do. And, of course, today, Troy, we're going out to New Mexico. I mean, when I think of New Mexico, I think of the Southwest and chili peppers and just the great old northern Mexican state that is New Mexico now. So I'm excited about it.
Yes, that is a great, great state. A lot of good things are happening in that particular area. So I'm anxious to hear from Greg.
No, I've been out there several times. I've always gone on Southwest Airlines. But speaking of airlines, you were up at American Airlines Training Center last week in the Metroplex up in Dallas. You got to tell us about that.
I was there for the Credit Union Development Educators Program, which is commonly referred as CUDE or CUDE. And it's an opportunity for us to, it's an emergent leadership program that's designed to expand and give the leaders an opportunity to connect again with what I refer to as the humanistic side or the human side of what we do in financial services by, you know, understanding what the individual consumer goes through at a variety of his or her life, and not only what are the issues that are prevalent here in the United States, but in the world abroad.
Awesome. Yeah, it sounded like a really, really cool place to do training, a fascinating place. Largest parking lot in America, by the way. It's not at Mall of America up in Minneapolis. It is the parking lot at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, home of the great American airline. It is American Airlines. Up next, we are going out live to the ABQ. You Breaking Bad fans, remember that is Albuquerque, New Mexico. His name is Gregory Shaver. We're going to call him Greg. He's the Vice President of Strategic Initiatives, and we're going to talk to him right after this. Play a lot of country music on the show, but that's Caroline Cole with her full-length album out today on iTunes and Spotify. We had her on the show. She was dynamite, literally. Hey, speaking of hot, out to, it's not hot, but it's not super cold, Albuquerque, New Mexico. His name is Greg Shaver. Hey, Greg, welcome to the show.
Hello, Jason and Dr. Troy Hall. How are y'all doing?
It is so very nice to have you.
Doing great, thank you.
Yep. All right, man. It's a credit union show. Tell us about you and your career with credit unions.
Oh, well, I grew up in a credit union family. I grew up in the Houston, Texas area. I'm a Texas boy originally and lived there for a long time. But my father was a big credit union guy, and I went to college in San Marcos back when it was called Southwest Texas State University. Lived in San Marcos for a while, but I didn't really start with credit unions until I ended up in New Mexico. I was in Ruidoso, and the local credit union there, Otero Federal Credit Union, was hiring a branch manager, and I had a background in mortgages and lending, and so I applied for that position and was lucky enough to get it. And it's one of those things where, you know, I'd been working in different areas, and when I finally got that job with that credit union, you know, I really realized that was my dream job, and I was really happy and knew that this was my calling. And so I've been with credit unions for about 12 years now, and I was with them and got promoted from branch manager to VP of marketing and did that for about 8 years, and then ended up being CEO of a small credit union out in Southwest New Mexico, Chino Federal Credit Union. And after about 3 years, we ended up merging with First Financial Credit Union, which is where I'm at now.
Okay, so, and by the way, is First Financial federal or state chartered?
State chartered, federally insured.
State chartered. And then just give us just a relative idea of the size of that credit union.
Well, First Financial, after the merger, we're now close to $500 million in assets. We have 15 branches and about 230 employees or so. We're a little heavy on the employee side for that, you know, size of a credit union, but we're in some rural areas and we're spread out. You know, we got about 7 branches in Albuquerque metro, and we got about 8 branches in some smaller towns. And so it's a little different business model than some other credit unions that size, because we're really focused on service and serving these smaller towns and rural areas.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, Greg, if you were to ask Dr. Troy, he would say this show is a little heavy on the employee side, because if he could, he'd fire me. I mean, we don't really need 2 guys here, sure, right? I mean, how hard is it to do the radio show? No, seriously. That's great. That's great. I was actually surprised when you told me how many employees you had at the credit union. It is a big place. New Mexico is a beautiful state. It is spread out. By just way of coincidence, yesterday my son actually toured with his high school freshman class the campus of what is now called Texas State University. And of course, you remember it as Southwest Texas State. My brother went there as well many, many years ago back in the 1980s. But when you and I talked on the phone earlier this week about doing the show, your job as the Vice President of Strategic Initiatives, part of the process is getting the employees to understand what the credit union's all about. And when you talked to me about that, there was a bit of maybe a sense of frustration in your voice, trying to convey this, these multi-generational marketplaces that we're all dealing with. And so I wanted to ask you, you know, tell us about some of the challenges and, of course, some of the rewards of your job as you try to get people to understand what your brand is all about.
Well, one thing we're trying to do at the senior management level is to come up with a business model and a value proposition that we can offer our members that differentiate us from some of the other financial institutions in this area. And so we've come up with some areas that we feel like we can compete on. And, you know, the important thing is you've got to relay this information to your staff, because the frontline staff is obviously the people who are interacting with your members. And so, you know, we up there in the ivory tower can talk about all this great strategic stuff, but if we're not able to implement it, you know, at the front line, then our staff's not going to relay what we feel like our value proposition is to our members. So it's important that the front line understands what we're trying to convey. So we actually, just this morning, we're at one of the branches, and we're going to each of the 15 branches over the next 3 weeks, and we're trying to let the staff know about the 5 strategic initiatives we're working on this year. So that being said, you know, it's sometimes difficult. You know, I was a branch manager a while back, and so, you know, you have to train, you have to mentor, you have to educate and teach these entry-level positions what you expect and what our members expect in terms of service. So it's a difficult thing. I mean, you know, I think one of the big things, generationally speaking, is, you know, when I came out of college in the mid-'80s, you know, my first what I thought was, I got to go show this company I want to go to work for what I can offer them. And so I felt like I had to really show them what I was capable of, what my skill set was, and what I could do for that company. And I think, and I don't want to make a general statement about everybody, but I think a lot of the younger generation, a lot of them feel like when they come to work, they want to know what you can do for them. And so that being said, I mean, this is the talent pool we're working with, and these are the people that we have to use and help us accomplish our goals. So we have to figure out how to work with them and get them motivated and make them feel a part of the team and feel a part of the process so that you know, they can go out and give our members the service we feel like they deserve.
Okay, so I have a couple of really interesting follow-up questions for you regarding some of that. So, but I want to go back to, you said that there were five strategic initiatives. Can you just capsule those for us and tell us what those are?
Sure, no problem. Our first one is loans. I mean, we're in a situation where we really need to grow our loan portfolio. I mean, we're about 75% loan to share, which isn't bad, but because we have higher operating expenses because of the amount of employees we have, we really got to maximize our loan to share ratio. So we really got to get the income from the loans at a higher number. We need to be around 85 to 90%. So we're trying to grow loans, and we're looking at different things. You know, one of the things we're looking at is growing our credit card portfolio. We had sold that years ago, and so we're getting back into that. We're looking at differentiating our loan product. And, you know, we do a lot of car loans. We specialize pretty much in car loans. So one thing we're trying to do is working with some vendors. There's a vendor out of San Antonio, SWBC, that we're working with, where we can actually give our members for free a vehicle return policy for 6 months, no charge, whereas if they lose their job, they get transferred, something like that, they can return the car and no questions asked. So it was something Hyundai did back in the recession. And so we're just looking at things we can do to differentiate our loans, give our members more value, and grow our loan base. So we're working on that. One of the other items, working on the service and sales culture. We're, you know, in the credit union industry, sometimes some of the staff get real nervous about the sales culture thing. So what we're trying to say is don't consider it selling, just consider it giving good service. And so we're trying to get our staff to ask questions of our members, to refer our products and services that we feel like can help our members save money, save time, and simplify their lives. That's one of the things we're pushing for in our value proposition, is to simplify our members' lives. So that's one item. We got a bunch of technology. We're pushing out a new mobile app, new bill pay, new online banking, updated website. So that's coming out. So that's a big strategic initiative. We're looking at branch branding as well. We're going to be putting some money into some of our branches. Some of them are old and outdated, so we're looking at really remolding our brand so that we have a consistent feel when you go into our branches. And then lastly, we're working on metrics really hard, really to try to come up with metrics that we feel like internally we can determine, you know, are we doing a good job? Can we do better? How do we compare against our peers? Things like that. You know, I think a lot of people are working with big data, and I think we're just trying to figure out how it can help us get better.
Yeah, so certainly you have got some challenges around those particular initiatives. Yeah, these are all big items. There's nothing small about any of them. So certainly you definitely have your work cut out. And but one of the other things that I wanted to comment on from your in your previous messaging before I asked you about the five initiatives, is you talked about the interaction of the Gen Y. And what I wanted to just chat a little bit about is the types of questions, like when the Gen Y group is asking you and you kind of felt that maybe they were asking you, what could you do for them? Do you feel that is more of just that they're asking more questions so that they understand how to get engaged, and so therefore they want to know, well, what's available for me because of the concept of upward mobility and being more accessible and being more tapped in? Or do you think that they or do you feel that in your credit union they arrive with a sense of entitlement?
Great question.
Well, you know, I do
that's
think
a great question.
There's a little bit of that entitlement, but I don't necessarily say that's everybody. I think the first part of what you said was true, is that they want to know what they can do. They want to know what their opportunities are. They want to know. And, you know, I guess when I grew up, you didn't ask those questions straight up front. I mean, you maybe talked about it down the road, or maybe sometimes you waited till you got that new job and maybe it was too late. But I think they just want to know, you know, what are the opportunities for them and how they fit in. I think, and I have kids, you know, who are younger and they're in that generation. And so I always talk to them, and it's just amazing sometimes some of the things they say. But I think they want to be part of something bigger. I think they really want to be a part of a team, and they want to collaborate. I think they want to work in teams. You know, I think a lot of the way they're being taught today in the schools is a lot more teamwork exercises,
yep,
as opposed to individual. So
absolutely.
I think that's what's happening, and so I think that's one of those consequences, I wouldn't say unintended, but I'd say consequences that you have when you change how you educate. But I think that's what's happening. They're coming into the workforce, and, you know, they got options. And if they can, you know, go down the road and get into a position where they feel it fits what they want better, then why not ask that question? So, I mean, that's what we're having to deal with. And you know, this is the – look, wherever you're at, you have a certain talent pool you got to deal with, and that's what you got to work with. And when I was in some of the smaller communities – the talent pool wasn't as deep, and so you really had to find people that were qualified and, you know, wanted to work. I mean, I think that's another issue is you know, people job hop a lot more today than they used to. So, you know, that's just the reality. So you got to really look for people, and you got to ask the right questions in the interview process, and I think that's part of the problem too, is that the interview process may be still fixed as it was 20 years ago, when now we got to start asking different questions up front to get to the people that we want to, you know, bring on and as part of the team.
Well, I'll tell you
bonus yeah. material. So I'm sorry, Jason, but bonus material that I'll just say to you, Greg, based on your understanding and how well you articulated this, is that your success in delivering these five initiatives to your team will be the difference between collaboration and lecture. And so be very careful about
exactly.
that process
exactly, yeah.
as you are trying to, because you talked about education, you talked about teaching, you talked about that. So you understand it. So just make sure that that how you put it into action reflects all that this great stuff that you know,
right,
and
right.
don't get trapped up into the old way of doing it, because you will find that you will lose that particular audience. And just for the point of clarification for others who might listen to only small sound bites of this presentation, but job hopping is a direct result of not being fed information or opportunities or what is available in the future. And
right.
that is a direct result of the internal workings of the organization failing to understand
sure.
that this is the way it is. We're actually looking at how to redesign performance evaluations, because even though we may do what we call a 60-day look back and a 90-day assessment and a 6-month and a 1 year, we find that our retail team, which is much more in that Gen Y grouping, needs communication on a daily, weekly basis. And so we have implemented some different tools in that demographic area for that retail front line that actually
right.
meets the needs of that group. And so
mm-hmm.
I just thought, since that was an important aspect of yours, that I would just share that, since we have a commonality in those interests and also
absolutely.
Some of the jobs
sure.
that we do.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate
yeah,
that. And I mean, that's good information, because I mean, I think that's always important is you got to make sure you don't preach as much as you can collaborate with. I think that's, and maybe that's the word I'm looking for, collaborate with that generation, is to make them feel a part of something and understand why you're doing it, not just telling them just to do it.
Well, I'll
right.
tell you, I
and
think
the
it's
why behind it
yeah.
is so important. The why is the biggest. The why is the biggest game changer, because here's what we found here. People will do what you tell them to do. Like, so they say, oh, I need you to do this. And they're like, okay, well, I'll do it. But they do it with more zest, and they do it with more ownership when they understand why they're doing it, as opposed to somebody just saying, go over there and do that.
Right.
And we're talking about the difference between the boat is freaking sinking, or I'm trying to get something across. You know, when the boat's sinking and I say, you know, grab a bucket, get the water out, nobody's going to look at me and go, well, why do you want me to do that? Because it's obvious.
Exactly.
But in situations and day-to-day, and they say we want to grow loans and we have to differentiate by the way we offer our products, and I really want you to think about selling as servicing, why? That's the stuff that they need, and they'll eat it up. So,
It's
all good.
Well, I can tell you, you know, like I said, we were just this morning at a branch, and we were giving the talk. You know, we have several different executives there, and they each have their own section that we talk about. And you can look at the staff and watch them as you talk, and some people are better at communicating, you know, than others. And so, you know, you can see people with that glazed over look, and they're not getting it. And then there's other times when other people speak, and they're – they feel it. They can interact. They're listening. They're paying attention. Their eyes are focused. So, I mean, yeah, it's important, the delivery method and how you get it across.
Well, we'll have plenty to talk about as it pertains to how we express things that we want people to hear, because we talk about this show all the time, the audience. The audience will tell you what kind of job you're doing with the presentation of your product and your brand. This has been a fascinating conversation. Greg, sometimes I have the unique experience where I'm hosting the show and listening to the show at the same time. But I really thought that the conversation we had earlier in the week, that's how this radio show got started, is that I would have conversations on the phone with guys like Troy and Jay Cassing from Marquee and other people, and wish that people could have heard those conversations. And because we have to put the show into a 30-minute time frame, we had to send you some bullet points to talk about this in certain ways. But I really do appreciate everything that you've said. I talked to you in the pre-show about some of your musical preferences, and you mentioned that you do like Billy Joel. And I told you this morning I was listening to music kind of randomly, which is not something I normally do. And I heard that song, We Didn't Start the Fire, which is a great generational song. And so I wanted to ask you, Greg, if it was like a music trivia question, when you listen to that song, what is the last generational thing that he talks about? Is it A, Marilyn Monroe, B, Cola Wars, or C, Richard Nixon?
The last thing?
That he says in the song.
Wow.
Marilyn Monroe, Richard Nixon. Oh, wait. Marilyn Monroe, Cola Wars, or Richard Nixon?
Oh, I'm going to say B.
Cola Wars. It is Cola Wars. Absolutely right. Oh, yeah. Yes. And I never would have known that if I hadn't heard that song this morning. And so when I thought about putting that little trivia question together, it occurred to me, well, Jason, the song is generational. It kind of counts down the events. Anyone's going to get this question, because they just have to figure out that Cola Wars came after Marilyn Monroe and before, or after Richard Nixon. Anyway, I appreciate that. Hey, listen, we always like to ask our guests something just kind of away from the you've given us plenty of stuff to think about in the context of managing a credit union that's, you know, that's merged, that's reimagining its brand and doing some things both at the brick and mortar level and at the branding level. You've given us a lot of stuff to think about and tweet about and talk about during the week. But when you're not at work, Greg, what kind of stuff do you like doing?
My son was a big golfer, college golfer, so when he was younger, we played a lot of golf, so I still like to play a lot of golf when it's warm. But now I'm kind of like to travel internationally, you know, and I don't really get enough time to go far away places, but I do try to travel the islands around, you know. I'll go to Cancun, or we've been to Roatan, Honduras, and we've been to Panama and places like that. So, you know, kind of in this region, but, you know, I like to travel, so that's a big thing right now.
Awesome, awesome. I've been to Honduras. I've been to Panama. I was in the Army. It probably was not as nice as your trip to those two countries. And you should know, Dr. Troy, it's part of his contract at South Carolina Federal. He gets like 10 cruises a year. That guy goes on more cruises than anybody I've ever met. Hey, Gregory Shaver, live from the ABQ. Keep an eye on that Mesa Credit Union brand, man. I saw them on Breaking Bad. That looks like a pretty good credit union. They're your competition there in Albuquerque. So keep an eye on them. We wish you the very, very best in 2016 as you plot out the strategic vision of your credit union. On behalf of Dr. Troy and myself, thank you, sir, for taking some time this morning to be on our show.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Thanks,
take
Greg.
Care. Gregory Shaver, everybody. Nice guy. 4 minutes. We wrap it up right after this. Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Brought to you by XDI.com. Check them out. Check us out each and every week. Troy, 3 minutes. Final thoughts.
Well, what I'd say is that I thought a couple of things that he said that were really relevant and really getting back to the Gen Y is that, you know, he really nailed again, you know, those four characteristics that we talk about for Gen Y, that entrepreneurial spirit, being collaborative, being socially driven, and wanting to connect socially. So, again, he's got all the information, and I'm not saying that he will fall into that, but I am always careful when I have an opportunity to work and consult with someone, is to say, don't lose sight of what you already know, because what tends to happen is we tend as humans to revert to our level of comfort. And
absolutely,
if our level of comfort from a generational perspective is to perceive it or do it like this, then we just sort of think everybody wants to perceive it and do it like this. And so it's real important to know that audience in all of that communication. And I also would say is that he is doing a nice job of the way that they are trying to make sure that the strategic initiatives are communicated in a way, the way we control a brand. You know, you don't just leave the brand to be developed by accident. You actually purposefully speak to the brand and you make it work. And the three most common ways in which brands can work is that they must represent the truth, they must have senior management support from the top down, and people have to live it, breathe it, and own it. And that's from a national survey that explains how brands can be successful. Well, you can apply that to the same thing for the communication of strategic initiatives. The strategic initiatives not only speak a truth, but the truth is the connection they have to the member. If there is no direct connection to the member, then there is no truth, because the whole point of credit unions and their activity is that humanization of working with the consumer and actually building that particular principle into it. And I know, and I've just said this 100 times, individuals at grass levels can do all they want, but if they do not get the support from senior management, it ain't going to happen.
Never going to happen.
So,
no.
And the good news is they've got individuals at senior management actually out trying to speak the message. So that's definitely showing the team this is senior management support. But more importantly, that definition of senior management support says, I will do what I say, not just I'm saying this for the sake of what you want to hear or what you need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So
I know you and I
does it, the difference.
It is a difference maker. And I know you and I were probably both thinking the same thing. We can kind of both envision what that looked like this morning, going out to those different branches and maybe putting up a PowerPoint presentation and making it very business-like. And there's probably some things they could do to reimagine that. But, hey, at least they're out there in person. It amazes me that in this era of every modern communicative medium you can imagine, social media and otherwise, I think still the most powerful way to talk to people is face-to-face in these small groups. Group environments. And the other thing I was going to say today, the theme of the show is going to be about how come we're always talking about Generation Y. Let's talk about the grown-ups. And I was going to talk about what I thought was your money line last week about close the loop. We got to move that to next week because we've only got 30 seconds left on this show. So once again, you and I have to sacrifice our own stuff for that young generation that we all love to employ and manage Generation Y.
Well, good. Let's start the show next week on closing the loop.
That is a great way to close the loop. 12 seconds. His name is Dr. Troy Hall from Charleston, South Carolina, Keeping Life Simplified. Sir, have a great weekend.
Great. Thank you, too.
Thank you, Gregory Shaver, and everybody for listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of eloquentonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas. Until next we speak, we'll talk to you all next week. Bye.
That's all, folks.
welcome to Bonus Coverage. This is the part of the show where I text Troy the word awesome. Awesome show. Bye.